Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie, episode 60.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie, and I am telling you I'm excited that the Get Balanced Podcast has an official sponsor, and I want to tell you a little bit about them. And it is FirstNet, built with the AT&T. And what I want to tell you about them is probably part of it is that many of you already know this, but for first responders and frontline workers, communication, as we know, is not a luxury, but it's a lifesaver. And that's why FirstNet, built with AT&T, was created. Now, the FirstNet mission is to make communication faster, safer, and more collaborative for first responders and other public safety personnel. FirstNet helps first responders and frontline workers connect when they are on and off duty. They get access to priority and preemption capabilities. This means they connect to the network first. In emergency situations, first responders move to the front of the line to access critical bandwidth they need to send and receive, whether it's voice, data, video, images, and text. Now, during an emergency, FirstNet is a critical connection between first responders to technology and also to each other, giving them access to information quickly and when every second counts. With FirstNet, first responders and frontline workers get a highly secure, reliable network with 24/7, 365 customer care and monitoring. Now, to get more information about FirstNet, go visit your local AT&T store or visit firstnet.com. Now, let me go in and introduce our guest for this week. Hey, folks, welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. And my special guest today is Battalion Chief Jason Golden from the Southern Marin Fire District and also the Mill Valley Fire Department, all the way out in beautiful California. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Donnie. It's good to be on.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to tease some of the listeners a little bit out there, because Jason asked me, hey, how should I refer to you as? Is that Dr. Donnie or Donnie? Because Jason knew me as Donnie. Actually, why don't we go into that? I mean, when did we first meet? It was at an IAFF ALTS conference, right?
Yeah, it was. I believe it was in 2014, 2015, somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah.
It was a ways back.
It was. And you came to one of my workshops, right? It was probably one of the first ones that I did, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've been to a couple of them there, and went from being not a ton of people in there to being a full room. So it's it's good to see that that's changing.
Yes, no, it is. And I appreciate it. Then, but before we get into, because I do know about where you work, you know, the firehouse and all that, because I've been out there. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your journey in the fire service, if you would.
Yeah, my journey is a little bit different than most people in the fire service. I wasn't straight out of high school or college knowing that I wanted to be a firefighter. I started out working in the private sector and was working at the North Face in RD&D. And was working long hours and traveling a lot. And it's a great, great career, but there was something missing for me. I just wasn't happy sitting behind a desk and wanted to go out there and do something to help people out. So my best friend happened to be in the fire service and was working at the time as a paramedic and trying to get into the fire service. And he said, man, you would be great at this. So I came home and I told my wife, I'm going to quit my lucrative career and go back to school and get my paramedic license and become a firefighter. And so went down that path and started as a volunteer in 2000 and was hired on full time in 2004. And the rest is history. I've been with them now since then, and have a few more years left in my career, and I've never looked back. I've been happier happier doing this than I was, you know, going snowboarding and designing clothing. So,
oh, that's very cool. Now today you are battalion chief, correct?
I am. Yes. I was just recently promoted in January of this year. So.
Now, well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Keeping you busy?
Keeping me very busy. Yeah. I'm back behind a desk, for part of my days. So, there's a moment where I kind of had to stop and ask myself, what did I do to myself? Yeah. Cause here I am behind the desk again. So, but it's been good. I like it. I'm starting to get into my groove a little bit. It's been about 6 months, and everyone tells me it takes, you know, a year to 2 years to get used to it. So I think I'm right on track. Things are starting to slow down a little bit. And so it's been good.
Well, good, good. You know, normally I want to ask you something else though, before I jump into some of my other questions. And that is about, I mean, it's, you know, if anyone watches the news, we hear of the wildland fires in California, amongst other states as well. Tragedy the other day in Arizona. Terrible to hear that news. And, now do you send some of your folks there from Southern Marine head out to the wildlands? Do they, or?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're part of the, state mass, mutual aid, when it comes to wildland fires. Mm-hmm. You know, we just yesterday actually sent out two, type threes, out to the Beckworth fire, and we're sending out a line medic, I believe, today. So it's starting to roll. It's been quiet for us, but the state, unfortunately, is starting to burn again. And I know Oregon's got a bunch of fires going on. So we're now, the seal's been cracked, so to speak, and we're probably going to be out quite a bit this summer.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes it very, I mean, that's a whole different ball game when it comes to work-life balance when men and women go out to the line. And
yeah,
that's a whole different game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There's you know, lack of sleep, you know, sleeping in the dirt, smoky conditions for 2 weeks, and you're really, you know, you're working your tail off for 2 weeks straight. So yeah. You know, it's when our guys and gals come back, they need to take a bit of a rest, but unfortunately sometimes they'll only get a day or two and then they're back at it again. Just the luck of the draw. If you're on duty and the tones go out and you get sent back out, you're gone again for another 2 weeks.
Wow. We could do a show on that after wildfire season, maybe, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, let's switch over and talk to us. If you would share with the listeners a little bit about your family.
Yeah. So I'm happily married for, 23 years now. I have an 11-year-old son, and we do a fair amount of travel, try and spend as much time as we can together. But sometimes it gets difficult with my job. And that's the hardest part. You know, anyone who's in the fire service and has kids, seeing the looks on their face when you tell them that you got to go to work again and you might not be back for, you know, 2 weeks or 4 days or 6 days, however long the stretch is, you see the disappointment in their face. So yeah. I try and make the best of the time that I have with my son. But you know, and that's where I've been struggling these last 6 months, is that, you know, my days off aren't necessarily my days off. I have meetings, I have people calling me about stuff that's going on at the station. So I've had to try and institute some things where I set my phone down, and it just sits there, but I do have to go check it because that's part of my responsibility now. Mm-hmm. And he's always on me. He's like, Dad, you know, drop that phone. Come on. So, but, yeah, it's, that's the difficult part. And that's the soul crushing portion of it for me is when I see that look on his face and I'm disappointing him, it really hits home. So I try and maximize the time and do what I can, when I can with him.
Oh yes. And then, is he involved in any extracurricular activities, sports or anything?
He is a sports fiend. He likes soccer. He just, got onto a select soccer team. So he'll be doing that this fall and winter. And then, he's also a big swimmer. And loves to mountain bike. And one of the things that we like to do together during the summer is we like to go stand up paddleboarding together. So that's kind of our time.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
Yeah. Very nice.
Now, do you have a special place where you do that, or do you travel around for that?
You know, we, when we're local here, we'll go into, San Rafael. There's a place that we go to, and, we'll go out for an hour, and just kind of get a good stand up paddle. But when we're in Tahoe, if we can, we'll get out on a lake, stand up paddle board. You know, wherever we go, that's usually one of the things that we'll do. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, that is awesome. And then you said you've been married for 23 years.
Yeah.
And, that's, an achievement in and of itself right there.
it's 23 years, and I say happily married because today we're happily married, but tomorrow who knows, it's always an up and down after 23 years. So
hey, it's work in progress, right?
It is a work in progress.
Yeah. So you're talking a little bit about sort of the disappointment when you see it on your son's face and things like that, and in the phone, you know, the days off, you still have to take your phone calls, check email and all of that. Are there any other sort of those work-life balance challenges that you deal with day in and day out?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my wife's a scheduler. She loves to schedule things. So she's instituted a rule with me where I have to put all my meetings, everything that I have, on the schedule. And even with that, we sometimes run into challenges where, you know, I schedule a meeting and I forget to look and see what's on the schedule, and I double book and I'm supposed to be doing something with her or with my son. And that sometimes can be a challenge. And we're just trying to work through it. You know, I think the biggest thing is communicating, and, you know, I'm struggling on the home front with communicating to the wife when I have some things going on, but, she's good. She's really supportive and is trying to be understanding of me being in a new position and the demands that are on that position. So she's given me some leeway on that, but I think I'm nearing the end of the leeway.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Now I know if your son's in, he's going to start select soccer. And if he swims, I understand why she's a scheduler. That takes anyone that has children in select sports understands it's a significant time commitment for sure.
It is. It is.
Very, very challenging. I think, you know, whether whether you're in public safety or you're not, it's still challenging.
Absolutely.
You know, let's talk a little bit about what do you think's going right when it comes to work-life balance and your self-care? You know, are you taking good care of yourself? I know the other day when we were emailing, you talked about your mountain biking, but talk a little bit about what do you feel like is going right when it comes to work-life balance and self-care?
Yeah. So the one thing that I've noticed, especially in the last 6 months, is that it takes work. It takes work to have a work-life balance. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I've done for myself is that, you know, I'll wake up and my routine every morning is just to have an hour where I stretch, you know, whether it be yoga stuff or just normal stretching. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my quiet time to just no phone, no family, no work, just my time to do that. And that kind of helps me to get set for the day. And really relaxes me and sets the mood for the day for me. So that's been really important. And I do it to where if I know that I've got a busy day rolling, I'm up at 4:35 in the morning stretching just so I can get that stretch in, because it has been very beneficial for me. But then there's also, you know, scheduling the time to get out and go for a mountain bike ride, or scheduling the time to go out and stand up paddleboard. So those are things that I'm trying to do my best on my days off. And then the days that I'm at work, you know, being, in charge of our health and wellness at the department and behavioral health, I make it a priority for not only myself, but for the crew, and the crews that are on that day, to make sure that they're getting their, you know, hour and a half inside the gym to get their workouts in. If they can't do it because of calls in the morning or because of things that we have going on, making sure that we have the time in the afternoon to do it. Cause it's important, you know, especially in this this line of work where, you know, we're constantly going, you have to have that release, to be able to, you know, keep yourself healthy physically, but there's also that mental side of it too, that it just, it really helps to put you into a healthy place when you're doing it, both physically and mentally.
Well, I love to hear that you're proactive and you're very, very supportive when it comes to that health and wellness piece. And, as you know, not all departments and all leaders are necessarily that way. So that's a very, very good to hear. And I think the trend is definitely heading that way, which is fantastic. And, you know, I'm curious, Jason, I don't think I ever asked you this question. And for the listeners, you know, Jason and I, we've known each other for years. You know, we're on opposite sides of the country, but I wanted to ask you, what originally brought you to the work-life balance workshop that I did for the ALTS conference? I mean, why, you know, you had probably a choice of 200 workshops to go to, and you get to choose what, maybe 6 or 8 or something like that. How did it make your list?
Yeah. So it made my list because, I just recently, recognized that I had some issues going on with, PTSD. I had a major incident, early on in my career where I had to, perform CPR on our deputy chief at the time. He collapsed right in front of me, at the station, and it was just myself and my partner at the time that were at the station. The engine company was out, doing inspections, and, he was the guy that opened the door to me, in the fire service, like literally went to Southern Marin, rang the doorbell, wanted to become a volunteer there. And he opened the door and kind of sat me down and helped to, put me on the path to getting into the fire service. And he was, very beloved within our department, kind of rose up through the ranks and was a firefighter's firefighter. And just, when that happened, we weren't able to save him. He passed away that day, and that really shook me. It shook me to the core. And at the time when I was in the fire service, it was that whole, you know, suck it up. We're not going to talk about our feelings. We're just going to move on. And I kept quiet on it for a good 7 years where my wife noticed that it was eating me alive. She noticed a total change in me. My attitude, I was angry all the time. I wasn't sleeping. I was drinking more than I normally did. And so my work-life balance was way out of whack. Just my mental health was out of whack. Yeah. So, I went and, I got help. I went to West Coast Post-Trauma Retreat and, came out of there, feeling a lot more like I used to, where I used to laugh a lot and things were, you know, things were good. Mm-hmm. And, as a part of that, I, brought it forward to my department, let them know what I'd gone through, and brought it, to the president of our union at the time, and said that I think we're doing a horrible job of taking care of our firefighters here in the county. And, we need to do a better job of it. And he said, you know what, you're the guy. We want you to kind of help, lead the charge on this. And, we had ALTS coming up, and he said, you know, there's this new track, let's put you on this new track. And, that's how I ended up in there. So, it's been good. You know, we brought you out to Southern Marin and had you, meet with all the shifts and, go through the work-life balance workshop, and, it was well received. And, you know, so, it's just, yeah, always looking for things to help our guys out.
Yes. And now I had a wonderful experience myself, meeting everyone and going through the training and how organized it was. And yeah, it was a great experience. Truly was. And I've been enjoying it, doing quite a bit of work these days. I really have dedicated the rest of my career to this, you know, doing the workshops, writing books, podcast, but essentially serving the public safety, you know, firefighters and law enforcement, EMS, as full-time work, and absolutely love it. So it, you know.
Yeah, well, you do a great job at it, and you know, I certainly appreciate it, and I know that the guys in our department appreciate it, and I can imagine that the other people that have been through it with you also appreciate it. Well, so thank you.
Well, thank you. I really like, you know, it's very satisfying to hear that and very, very enjoyable. Because sometimes as you know, I see the camaraderie at the firehouse, right? But when you're like in the line of work that I do, sometimes you can feel like, man, I'm on this island by myself. You know, it's like, you know, and then I go to these inhabited islands, right? Where, wow, people are, you know, there's a lot of social stuff going on and, you know, friendships and all that great stuff, camaraderie. And then, yeah, so I enjoy that piece of it and enjoy when I get to spend time with that. But when you, let me take you, so you start and then you led up and started then the peer support, correct? Or got correct. It going.
Yeah, I got it going in our department. And then at the time for the union, I worked very closely with our, at the time, vice president of our union, John Bagla. And we kind of started to put the behavioral health program together and build a kind of system for it, where now we have, you know, 40 peers in our program. I'm the chair of the program now that John's our president, and we have co-chairs that I work with. I have three co-chairs that help with the program. And you know, it's slow going. It's the fire service, it's bureaucracy, we're an amalgamated union, so we have 10 different departments that we're dealing with and 10 different chiefs that we're dealing with. So you know, we're fortunate that in our county all 10 chiefs have signed on and are a part of the behavioral health program. They're supportive of it, but there's different nuances in each department. Some departments will do certain programs, some will choose not to. So it's a balancing act, making sure that we have you know, all the right pieces in the place to help the people out when they need the help.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Now, in addition to the mental health, you know, cause with, and it, you've been to the workshops and you know that, you know, I talk a lot about our physical health, our mental health, our social health, and our spiritual health. When it comes to, and you mentioned that you promote people or your men and women, your brothers and sisters exercising during their shifts. And you guys run 48 hours, correct? At least you.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but to get that exercise in and with your peer support and everything that you're learning and doing, do you guys also see that huge tie between exercising and getting some mental health benefits from that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when guys are really stressed out, we're like, hey man, just go hit the gym for a little bit. We got nothing going on. Get in there, you know, clear your head a little bit. You know, and we're fortunate where, you know, we have a lot of buy-in with that. There's very few people in our department who don't take advantage of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've got a healthier workforce in terms of physical, and then the mental side, you know, we are constantly, bringing in new different types of training, talking to them. We have, you know, May, we take a 2-week period where we'll bring in speakers or we'll, you know, have some trainings on mental health. And we're not just looking at the physical side anymore. We're also looking at the sleep cycles. We're talking about sleep. We're talking about alcohol and drug abuse. We're talking about, mindfulness, meditation. I mean, we've brought in yoga to our department, which, you know, I thought I was going to get lambasted by the guys when I brought yoga in, but, it's, you know, there's certain guys that's just not their cup of tea, but there are other people that, you know, really enjoy it. It's time for us to kind of slow ourselves down. And as we learn more and more in this, what, you know, the mind body connection, all of this stuff that I never thought would be talked about in the fire service, we're talking about it. And, you know, we're getting really good about talking about difficult calls. When we get back, you know, looking at people's faces, recognizing that they had a tough call and, trying to sit them down and let them talk about it. So, you know, we're learning more and more, and it seems like there are more and more people out there doing studies and doing the kind of work that you're doing, in order to give us the tools to help us out. And that's really what I try and, talk to our guys about is that, you know, this is no different than the toolbox that we have on the rescue or the engines where we can pull a tool out for a certain thing. Right. We're going to give you a lot of tools that are going to help you out throughout your career so that, you know, you come in healthy, you go home healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my, my son, he's a paid on call firefighter and he's working private ambulance while he's putting himself through fire two school. And he's a veteran out of, he's with the 82nd Airborne in Afghanistan, combat vet. So he's super excited, loves when he can do a shift, you know, do a 12 hour shift or pick up a shift and things like that. Absolutely loves it. And, one thing that I like to ask my podcast guests are, you get a young person like that, what advice do you have for them so that they, you know, they go into it all gung ho from a physical aspect to serving to they don't yet know what those mental health challenges and incidents are going to be like. He has his military ones that he's gone through, but what advice do you have for young ones coming into the service today?
You know, with the young people coming in, we're hitting them early on. We get into their academies and we do a behavioral health day where we talk to them about behavioral health. We start to let them know what tools are there for them. We want them to talk about it. We keep on telling them that this is a new fire service, you know, really being able to talk about the difficult calls that you go on is huge. Don't keep it inside, because we use the analogies. There's a couple different ones out there where you have your, you know, a backpack that you wear and you either start filling it up with rocks. Each call that you go on, that's a difficult call, it's a rock. And over time, over a 10, 15, 20, 30 year career, you start to fill that backpack up and it could be the smallest call that will tip you over. That's just that little rock. And now your backpack's too full and you're going to fall over. The other thing we use is apples, you know, take the apple out of your backpack, take a bite out of it, start talking about it. I think that's, you know, the biggest thing, and to really be in tune with what's going on. Like, you know, are you having difficulty sleeping? Are you having nightmares? Are you starting to notice that the things that you used to love doing, you're not doing anymore? Are you angry all the time? Like, we give them the tools to recognize when these things are happening. And because we've done that, we've been doing it for the last 5 years. We're now starting to see the younger generation where they're like, I'm getting phone calls on my days off. Like, hey, you got a minute? I need to talk to you. So we try and steer them in the right direction when that happens. And you know, with the guys that we have that have military backgrounds that come in, we're a little bit more like keeping an eye on them, because we know that they come in, if they've been in an active war zone, and most of the guys that have been in the military in the last 20 years that are coming out and coming in, they pretty much are guaranteed almost to have some combat experience.
Yeah.
So, we really try and, meet their needs, because they're a little bit different. They already come in with some mental stuff and some images and things that can compound what they're going to go on. So what we've done in particular in our area is we've got some veterans who are on our peer support team who deal with those guys directly. For me to sit down and talk to somebody who's been in combat, I can't relate to that. But we have somebody who's been in combat who can sit down and talk to them and relate to that. So that's, we give them that avenue to go and talk to somebody who can share that experience with them.
I like that. Yeah, I do. I'm going to definitely mention that to him.
Sure. And tell him thank you for his service too, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. I will. Yeah. And let me switch over, Jason, to I always like to ask a question. I think about what guides you through life, like your guiding principles. What are they and where they come from?
Ooh. Well, I'm Irish Catholic. You know, grew up going to church and,
I'm Catholic as well. So I understand
okay.
exactly what you mean. Yes.
So, not, you know, I wish I could say I was still going on a regular basis. You know, I don't get there as often as I should, but, you know, that's been part of my guiding principles. You know, I still will read the Bible and, you know, I try and do right. But, you know, guiding principles for me is more, you know, just doing what's right, you know, having those tough conversations, making those tough decisions. It might not be easy, but, you know, always having the ability to see through everything and say, you know, this may not be good for me, but I know it's the right thing to do. And then just having integrity, that's really huge for me. And being honest, being somebody who's trustworthy, and then just head down, hard work. You know, I've always, you know, I had, had some difficulties growing up and, had some, you know, good luck happen on my side where I had a close friend. He's the one who was in the fire service. He told me I'd be good at this. I ended up moving in with his family when I was 17, and his parents kind of became my unofficial adopted parents and have really helped me. You know, they were very involved in the Catholic Church and just always set a good moral, solid ground to stand on. Mm-hmm. And that's just sort of been my go-to. What would they do? What would they say?
That's great.
So, yeah. And that's what I'm trying to pass along to my son, you know, just having that, you know, be kind to others, treat people right, do hard work, and good things are going to happen to you. It may not happen when you want it to happen, but if you stay consistent with what you're doing and consistent with the way you're treating people, you're going to be successful in life.
Absolutely. I love that. All right. I've got about one more question for you, Jason, but before I do, I wanted to ask you, is there anything that I did not ask you or something that you'd like to have spent a little bit more time on before I jump to another question?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. No.
All right. Here's what I want you. I want to give you an opportunity that, say, let's say your son's 11 years old. Okay. 5 years down the road, he's getting his driver's license. Decides to put on the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and listen to his dad's episode. Okay.
All right.
What words would you like for your son to hear from you today that he hears down the road?
Oh, you know, I think just stay true to who you are. You know, don't be influenced by people. You know, that are going to try and influence you in the wrong way. There's a lot of forks in the road that you're going to hit in life, and you know we're going to give you the tools to make those choices, but ultimately you're the one that's going to have to make those choices. And I think you know, always be kind to yourself. We're going to make mistakes. You know, we're human beings. And when you make those mistakes, you know, you can always pick yourself up and continue on. And then that's part of life. That's part of growing. And don't shy away from tough issues, because that's where your growth is really going to come is in those tough times. You know, it's you see people walking around with smiles on their face and it looks like easy street, but you never know what's going on inside somebody. And you need to be able to have the ability to recognize when things aren't going your way. You can put on the smiley face, but if you're not good inside, you're not good outside.
Yeah. Any words you'd like for your wife to hear if she listened to the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. She's been my backbone. She's really the reason why I'm sitting here talking to you today. If she didn't push me hard, you know, when I was going through my issues, I don't know that I would be sitting here talking today. I don't know that I would be the person that I am today. She really opened my eyes to how I was. What I thought I was doing was exactly what I just gave the advice to my son. I put the smiley face on, but inside I was not doing well. And her strength and sticking with me and helping me recognize that. And, you know, even to this day, she'll kind of, you know, jokingly now when I'm starting to steer off the work-life balance, she'll laugh at me and be like, really, you have work-life balance? Oh, okay. So it's a good reminder for me that I'm not doing as good as I think. And so she's really been helpful in that and keeping me going in the right direction.
That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. And you said something that when you were talking about your son, Jason, about be kind to yourself. I think those are fantastic words. And it is something that I know I've as my workshop, it's been a couple years since I've been out at Southern Marin, but you know, constantly it's evolving and always trying to improve it. That is one area that I spend more time on now in the workshop is the piece I call self-forgiveness, is trying to teach the men and women, because you can relate to me. I'm sure you can relate to this. You're Catholic. I'm Catholic. Self-forgiveness, what's that? Right? It's called Catholic guilt. You run around like always feeling guilty and carrying the weight of the world, right? And in my workshop, I go through a process to teach it, and I share with people that, you know, I was like 42 years old before I learned it. And boy, do I wish. So I want to give you a pat on the back, kudos, that for advice to your son and to all listeners, right, to be kind to yourself, because we do need more of that. You know, we're all human. We're not perfect, and we forgive others, but boy, sometimes we have a tough time forgiving ourselves, which it's a learned skill though, I do believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we can all do. All right. Well, in closing, one of the other things that I do, my tradition is I would like to kick it over to you if you'd like to give a final blessing prayer to the first responders out there in this world.
Yeah, I just, I'd like to, you know, especially with what's going on in the West right now, and actually the East, you know, the all the men and women in Florida, my heart and my prayers are with you guys. And all the firefighters here on the West Coast, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Nevada, Arizona, California, we got a rough road ahead of us this summer. It's dry, it's hot, and you know, I hope you guys stay safe, take care of each other, and take care of yourselves.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much, Chief.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Donnie.
Absolutely.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.